God will take care of you when you trust in his providence. Isaiah 26:3, you keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you.
Welcome to A Word from God with your host and teacher, James Lindley.
The title of this episode is God Will Take Care of You, and was recorded live at Grand Community Church in Springfield, Missouri.
Hi, this is Misha Pelkey, and before we get started, I want to remind you that James loves hearing from his listeners. Drop him a line via email at james@awordfromgod.net. That email again is james@awordfromgod.net. Or write to James Lindley Ministries, P.O. Box 8082, Springfield, Missouri, 65801. That address again is James Lindley Ministries, P.O. Box 8082, Springfield, Missouri, 65801. Now here's your host and teacher, James Lindley.
Today's sermon is God Will Take Care of You. How many of you know that God will take care of you? How many of you guys really believe that? Then why are you guys working so hard to get him to do it? You rely on yourself too much, right? I do. Amen. Somebody told me this morning everything was going wrong until I gave up to God. As soon as I gave up, it started working. Listen to this. Key verse is going to be in Psalms 1, verse 6, reading out the ESV. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous. Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, I pray that you will open our hearts, that we may receive your word. Oh God, I pray that you will anoint me to speak it, and that we will carry it forth from this place, oh God, so that we may carry it to the ends of the world. In Jesus' precious name we pray, amen. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous. What does that mean to you? It means he's watching after you. He knows every single thing that's happening in your life. So why is it when something that you didn't expect, that's terrible, happens to you, you act like God is panicking? We do that, don't we? Oh boy, I got some bad news. Bet you God didn't see this one coming. But he does. God sees everything. He's watching you because you are his children. He loves and cares for you. He nurtures you even when you're not even paying attention to it. Amen? Because he knows the way of the righteous. He knows what you're up to. God is actively involved in our lives. The question is, how involved are we with him? Interesting question, isn't it? You know, we can go to church. We can pray to God too, can't we? We can also hang around Christians, can't we? But does that really make us an actively involved person with Christ? Because, you know, you can go through the motions. I went to the mechanic once to get my car fixed, and I told him I could change my oil. I talked about it. He thought I was a mechanic. I'm not. I was talking like one. I had grease on my hands because I had been working on the engine, so I was looking like one. Amen. And I was at a garage. I was at the place where they do that stuff. I fooled this man. And I just said enough to make him believe, but not on purpose. It was just in conversation. You know, sometimes we meet up with people, and we believe that they're wholehearted Christians. And sometimes that person we meet up with is ourselves. You follow what I'm saying? Sometimes it's ourselves. We look in the mirror and we go, I go to church, I read my Bible, I pray, and I hang around some pretty good Christians. That must mean I'm a Christian. Okay? But until we get involved with him, until we get involved with him, we don't become Christ-like. Because Christ-like is not what you do on the outside, it's what's happening on the inside. Amen? It's what's happening on the inside. And when something's happening on the inside, it means that God is at work with you and he's taking care of you. He's taking care of you. The righteousness that you have is the Christ within you, not the outer appearance. not the walk, not the talk, not the persona, okay? But the living, active God that is inside of you. That people, when they look at you, they don't understand how it is that your bills get paid, but yet you are obedient to your church and you're obedient to God when you pay your tithes. How you have abundance when you give in abundance. Doesn't make sense, does it? Because God's taking care of you. So let's go to one of my points here. God will take care of you when you adhere to his word. See, there are conditions to the Bible's promises, right? Now, we get grace, right? We get grace. Our salvation is by grace. Amen? But did you know that there are promises in this life? Because, you know, you're alive right now, right? You're not in heaven. You're living right now. And there are conditions to some of God's biblical promises. We're not talking about salvation. We're talking about provision and being cared for by God. Amen? Will not the government leave you alone until you commit a crime? You commit a crime, you're in trouble, aren't you? If you're a law-abiding citizen, you can go anywhere you want to, right? No restrictions. Break the law and you got a problem, don't you? Same thing with God. When we're living our lives, he's taking care of you as long as you're obedient and adhering to his word. If you misstep, trouble begins. Listen what it says in Psalms 119:105. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. See, sometimes I can't see where I'm going because I don't have all of the answers. And then a scripture will pop in my head and the Lord will tell me, put your foot here. And then I see my path starting to illuminate as I trustedly take my steps with him, watching my feet as I step in his word. Understand what I'm saying here? If you're ever confused about what direction you should go in, pick up the Bible and read and listen to what God has to say about your direction. Amen? God's care and provision often comes to Christians through his word. I hear a lot, Pastor, I don't understand. I go to church and I do a lot of praying and I just don't seem to have a lot of good luck. But then when I get to talking to people more and more, I find out that they're doing some wrong things that are not lining up with the word of God. It's true that Christians don't often realize that obedience equals blessings. Some Christians think that if I just believe, well, then I'm going to get. But listen, if you believe in something, you're going to do something, right? If the doctor says, take this medicine, and you believe the doctor, you'll take the medication. And hopefully you'll get better. But if you don't believe in the doctor's ability to heal you, you won't even get the prescription filled, will you? Or you might get it filled, and you might set it up on the countertop and never take it. Many times people come to church, and they want the spiritual doctor to take care of them, and he says, here's my word, here's the medicine for it. And the pastor will even give them a Bible. And they'll go home and set it on the shelf. The prescription is filled, but it's not being taken into heart. Because they're not adhering to the word of God. You see what I mean? God can give you the medicine to heal you, but you got to take it. He's not going to force anyone. Isaiah 30:21 says, and your ears shall hear a word behind you saying, this is the way, walk in it. When you turn to the right or when you turn to the left. See, that's the Holy Spirit that Christians have. We have a directional guide. But did you know that you also have a free will? You do not have to listen to the Holy Spirit. You can say, no, I'm going to do it my way. See, I know what God says, but God just doesn't understand the situation I'm in. See, if I do it God's way, why, it'll just get all messed up. Some people are like that. I just don't feel like that's the direction I should take. But that doesn't mean that God's not providing a direction. You still have a free will. Aren't you glad that you have a free will? If you didn't have a free will, then you would be forced to love God. And that wouldn't be love, would it? Right? So you can adhere to God's word. You can stick yourself to it. You can glue yourself to it and watch God glue himself to you. That's why you see some Christians having victory over things that you're still having trouble with. because they have applied the word of God to the sin in their life that is holding them back. You understand what I'm saying? Anything in your life that is holding you back, take the word, stick to it, okay, and apply it to that sin. But listen to this. Without God's word, Christians can become confused, dismayed, and defeated in this life. Pastor, are you out of your mind? I have the victory. Yeah, you have victory. You have victory. Christians are going to go to the kingdom of God. That's true. That's a victory. And I praise God for that victory. But I'm alive now. And I want victory now. Amen. Who wants victory now? Who wants trials and tribulations the rest of their life? Man, look at them hands go down. I don't want trials and tribulations. I want victory. That means I want to be obedient to God. Listen, the Old Testament God is the same New Testament God. Amen. He rewards obedience and he takes care of those who disobey. John 15:5, I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. You can't do anything without the word of God. In the beginning was the word, and the word was what? With God. And the word was what? Was God. Christ is the word himself, manifested in the flesh. If you don't have Christ in your heart, if you're not living Christ in your life, you're not bearing fruit. The holy fruit, the nine fruits, patience, joy, long-suffering. You need those things to survive in this world. You need those things so that you do not disobey the word of God. But if you don't have the word of God, if you're not living the word of God, if you're not adhering to the word of God, then you're apart from Christ. And when you're apart from Christ, you're alone. You're confused. You're defeated. Because Jesus, what? He overcame the world. Not you, not me, not us. So I'm sticking with the guy who's the winner. He's going to get me through, right? He's my guide. Many Christians do not feel the presence of God because they do not adhere to his word. I just don't feel God. Pastor, I'm just going through some stuff, and I just don't feel God. And sometimes when people tell me that, not always, I find out that they're in a disagreement with another person. Now, we can disagree with people. That's fine. I understand that we can't just see eye to eye to everything. But when you start getting hate in your heart, when God says to love your enemies, you know that love is not a feeling. Love is agape, which is the Greek word for action of love. Jesus did agape love when he gave his life to us. He could have told us, I love you. But he had to show us, right? He had to take action. Something had to be performed, right? I don't like lip service from people. I love you, Pastor. What can I do for you? Oh, I got this job and I got that job. Okay, I'll get it on the next month. That's not agape love, right? That's lip service. I got enough people that will give me lip service. Okay? We got to be the Christians that when we say we love people, we're doing it in action. That means when you see the person that's your enemy on the side of the road, you lift up your hands to help them if they're broke down with their car. If they're sick, you try to help them. You do what you can. Amen? But see, many Christians do not feel the presence of God because they're not practicing the presence of God. You get the presence of God by reading the Bible and applying it to yourself and not looking at everybody else and saying, oh, this is the scripture that so-and-so needs. That's the wrong way to read the word. See, the Bible is your mirror. When you read it, you're looking at yourself in comparison to God. And you see how great he is and how unworthy we are. Amen? So when you read your Bible, the Lord is trying to use it as a tool to build you closer to him. Amen? James 4:8 says, draw near to God and he will draw near to you. Well, I don't feel God. When's the last time you got down in some deep prayer and worship? When's the last time that you just devoured his word? Well, I just don't understand the Bible. Well, you know what? I didn't understand the Bible when I first read it either. Seek and you shall find. But you know, many of you, I didn't understand either till I got to know you a little better. How many of you knew me the first time you ever met me? Same thing in God's word. See, God's word is an introduction to himself. It is a revelation of himself. And you can't just pick it up one day and read a few paragraphs, a few sentences, a few verses and say, I know God. That's ridiculous. You can't do that with me. Amen? You got to pick up the book every day and get to know God through it. Right? Just like people got to get to know you. And you know, someone could know you for 10, 15 years and still not know everything about you. Can't they? I bet you some of you can think right now, I got friends that don't know things about me. And then I got some friends who stick so close as a brother that they really know me because they took the time to know you. And when you see a powerful Christian, that's not real power of their own. That's relationship. When you see a Christian who's having victory, you see a Christian who's spending time with God. You see a Christian who's spending time with God. They know God because they're spending time with God. See, you can know all about somebody and never know them, right? So if you draw near to God, he will draw near to you. How do you guys feel it when people pull away from you? Ever have a friend that stopped calling you? And you try to call them up and they're not answering the phone. You know, when a Christian stops reading their word, the Lord will tug at their heart. You need to pick up the Bible. But see, life takes over and we don't want to pick up our Bibles, do we? We don't want to adhere to the word, amen? We just want to do something else. And then we wonder why we don't feel the presence of God because we haven't been drawn near to God, amen? Okay. Number two, God will take care of you when you delight in his law. James 1:22, but be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. Be doers of the word. What does that say to you? It means that when you read something in the Bible, do it. Apply it. Obey it. But now listen, some people just hear the word and they like to regurgitate it to others, which God can use that. Amen. Oh, I heard something really good. I got something that God's going to tell you about. Yeah, let me tell you all your flaws. Man, that's not what the Bible's for. Sometimes that is the case that God wants to give a message. I do agree with that. But we got to read the word so that we don't puff ourselves up, but that we lift him up. Right? We want to lift God up, not ourselves with the word, right? Now, when we lift God up, we're automatically lifted up because he will exalt us. Amen? So, be doers of the word and not hearers only, because if you do that, if all you do is hear the word, you come to church and you leave here and you forget everything that I have said, you're deceiving yourself and you're headed for an accident down the road. It's like going 100 miles an hour and you're going around a curve and it says danger ahead and you just keep flowing that pedal. I'm telling you right now, God knows things that's coming up in your life that you cannot see, that you can't even imagine. Troubles that are up ahead, people that are up ahead, things that are up ahead. And he's trying to tell you something in his word, even today. And if you don't listen, you cannot blame him because he loves you so much. He's going to constantly try to tell you through preachers, ministers, through his word. Amen. But you got to listen because if you don't adhere to his word, if you do not obey his laws, there's going to be a crash coming. Amen? And he doesn't want that happening. Listen, Satan often deceives Christians into thinking we can believe like saints but live like the devil. Well, I love God and he loves me and I'm saved by grace. And that means I can live like the devil because all of my sins are washed away. I can't out-sin the grace of God. Woo, that's a dangerous, dangerous state of heart to be in. Isn't it? Because there's some things that can happen to you in this life when you're disobedient to God. Right? Things worse than death. Amen? Listen to this. Demons believe the word of God. James 2:19. Even the demons believe and shudder. Well, that's confusing. Aren't we saved by grace through belief in Jesus Christ? So why aren't the demons saved? They believe. They shudder. They fear him. Anybody understand why the demons believe, but they're still going to be cast into hell? It's because they don't repent. They don't turn from their wicked ways. They do not abide by the word of God and his laws. They believe, but yet They stand against him. Anyone who is against me is not for me. The demons are going to be cast into hell, and they believe. There will be people who believe but do not repent. And Jesus will say, in that day, depart from me, you worker of iniquity. I never knew you. You didn't obey my law. You didn't obey my law because you didn't have the Holy Ghost within inside of you, because you did not repent. Repentance is a change of heart. It's a change of direction. Amen? Right? Some of us say, well, yeah, I believe there's a God. Well, of course you believe there's a God. God put it in every person that there is a divine God that has created everything. Now, maybe not everybody believes in creation, right? But everybody was created by God to believe that there is a higher being. It's called our conscience. We know we shouldn't kill. That doesn't mean we don't. We know we shouldn't lie. That doesn't mean we don't. But there is that little voice that he put in every one of us that writes the law on our hearts. But again, if you don't repent, how can he take care of you? Believing God's word means to take action. If you trust in someone, you will do what they ask of you. Amen? Some of you got people you trust, don't you? I got people in here that I trust. They trust in me. They did everything I asked them to do, and I did everything they asked me to do. With some limitations. But with God, there should be no limitations because he's perfect. Right? We're working with imperfect people in the world, but we're not working with an imperfect God. He's working with an imperfect person, though, isn't he? Luke 6:46, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do what I tell you? This is Christ asking a question. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do what I tell you? Why do we come to church and worship? Why do we pick up our Bibles and pretend to read, only not to listen to what he's telling us to do? Why do we do that? I don't know. I'm sure one day we'll have that answer, right? Oh, wait a minute. Could it be that we're not ready to surrender? Could it be that we think in our own prideful ways that we know better than God? That's a possibility. When Christians do what God asks of them, they are blessed. Deuteronomy 28:2, and all these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you if you obey the voice of the Lord your God. But what if I'm good? Does that mean that I got to search out to get rewarded by God? Does that mean I got to ask him for things? Do I have to remind him that I've been good? No? You mean my blessings will overtake me? And all these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you if you obey the voice of the Lord your God. If what? What? That was weak. Obey what? Oh, the voice of God. Where do we hear the word of God? Oh, Pastor, I can't hear the voice of God. And when I do hear voices, I don't know where they're coming from. Well, you'll hear that voice from behind telling you which way to go. But I never hear that voice. Do you read your Bible? If you read your Bible, you'll hear that voice. Amen. And then when you obey, you will be overtaken by blessings. By blessings. Three, and I'm almost done. That this is where you go, whew. God will take care of you when you trust in his providence. Isaiah 26:3, you keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. Trust is a big issue with God, and it's sad, but many Christians have trust issues when it comes to God. Isn't it hard to trust someone you can't see? Wouldn't you say it's hard to trust someone you can't see? That's right. It's even harder to trust some of the people you can see. But listen, if you look around in your life, you will see things that God's doing. The very fact that you're in this church today tells me that God is at work in your life. But you may not see that. You may just excuse it as a coincidence. Man, God sets up events to lead you step by step. But see, we live in a microwave society where we think, well, I just want the whole meal right now. I just want to walk where God's sending me. I want to get here today. Listen, you didn't get in the mess that you're in overnight. God's not going to walk you out of it, right, in one trip. You got to take one step of obedience at a time. But we have trust issues with God, don't we? But listen to this. First, when we trust in God's providence, he will keep us, right? God will keep you because you're trusting in his control. You're trusting in his providence in your life. He will keep you. Who wants to be kept? Who wants to be kept? Okay, that's the first part of that verse, Isaiah 26:3. But listen, God often takes care of us by easing our minds and giving us peace. Perfect peace. Isaiah 26:3. How many of you need peace? See, your circumstances aren't always going to go away just because you believe in God. But he can give you peace in the storm. He can give you peace in your heart. Some of us don't need our problems to go away. Some of us need peace in our hearts over our problems. You know what I'm saying? Instead of praying, Lord, take it away, we should say, Lord, keep me in peace. Keep me strong. Right? So I can do your bidding in this storm. But the promises of God often call for an action on our part. Whose mind is stayed on you? There's a condition to that. Listen, if you want God to keep you in perfect peace, guess what you got to do? First, you have to have your mind focused on God. Pastor, what are you trying to say? Well, I'm trying to say this. Many of you think, including myself, that we have it all focused on God. But when trouble starts, we start to dwell on the problem instead of worshiping God, who's in control of everything. The moment that our mind is not stayed on God, it is focused on something worldly, temporal, right? Not eternal, not of God. That means we're a part of him, right? We're apart from him, which means that we can do nothing. We just lost our peace. We just lost our peace. You stay focused on God, you'll have that peace. But Pastor, I don't know how to stay focused on God. I'm glad you asked. Because the last part of this says, see, we obtain all this through trust. Isaiah 26:3. Because he trusts in you. See, your mind will be focused on God because you trust on him. You trust in him. If you want the peace of God, if you want the providential care of God, you got to trust him to do it. If you don't trust somebody, you will not do what they ask you to do. And if you do not do what somebody asks you to do when it is good for you to do it, you will not get the benefits of what that person has to offer. So we obtain all this through trust. In conclusion, I want to say that God desires to take care of us, but we must adhere to his word. Once we know his word, we must obey him. See, that's the first step. Get to know the word of God. Dig into it. Everything in that Bible is for your benefit. Everything in that Bible is to take care of you. We must know that he is in control, and we must trust him.
This is Misha again to remind you that James loves hearing from his listeners. You can contact him via email at james@awordfromgod.net. Again, that's james@awordfromgod.net. Or write to James Lindley Ministries, P.O. Box 8082, Springfield, Missouri 65801. And be sure to visit us online at www.awordfromgod.net. I'm Misha Pelkey for A Word from God.
And I'm James Lindley, and I want to thank you for listening. And I pray that God will bless you immensely from this message.